From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Mr. President, do you still love WikiLeaks?
That's what the press wanted to know about after the announcement of the arrest of Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy in London was made on Thursday.
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing. And I know there is something having to do with Julian Assange. I've been seeing what's happened with Assange, and that will be a determination, I would imagine, mostly by the Attorney General, who's doing an excellent job. So he'll be making a determination. I know nothing really about him. It's not my deal in life.
What would you like to see happen? What punishment?
I don't really have any opinion. I know the Attorney General will be involved in that, and he'll make a decision. Okay.
I do think it's a little ironic that he may be the only foreigner that this administration would welcome to the United States.
That was President Trump's 2016 Democratic Party opponent Hillary Clinton asked about Assange's arrest.
It is clear from the indictment that came out. It's not about punishing journalism. It's about assisting the hacking of the military computer to steal information from the United States government. And look, I'll wait and see what happens with the charges and how it proceeds. But, you know, he skipped bail in the UK. You know, Sweden had those charges, which have been dropped in the last several years. But the bottom line is he has to answer for what he has done, at least as it's been charged.
Peter Lavelle from RT is a frequent guest here on CPR News. And in the latest edition of his program, Crosstalk, they took a look at Assange's arrest.
Cross-talking Julian Assange, I'm joined by my guest, Joe Loria in Washington. He's the editor-in-chief of ConsortiumNews.com and author of How I Lost by Hillary Clinton, with the foreword by Julian Assange. Also in Washington, we have Ray McGovern. He is a former CIA analyst and co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And in New York, we cross to Sarah Flounders. She is co-director of International Action Center, as well as author and an anti-war activist. All right, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Joe, let me go to you first, because you're very familiar with Julian Assange. And Julian Assange wrote the foreword to your book. What are your feelings right now? Because, you know, from my perspective in the business of journalism, this is one of the darkest days of journalism in my lifetime. And I'm going to remember this day for the rest of my life, no matter what happens. That's how passionate I feel about this. This is a crushing move against a profession that has already been crushed so much over the last few years. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I think it's a dark day, not just for journalism, but for everyone else, for the entire world, really, for all the populations of all countries that depend on a vibrant media, a critical media that can bring them information about what their governments are really up to that will challenge them. And that's, of course, what WikiLeaks did. They provided the information that the governments did not want the public to know, particularly about crimes and corruption. And this is why they've got him arrested today. All the other stuff about bail skipping and previously about the sexual allegations at Sweden, all of that was to lead up to get him to go to this courtroom in Alexandria, Virginia, so he could stand trial for exposing the secrets of governments. It was indeed a very stark and nightmarish image of seeing Julian taken out of the front door of the embassy with the Ruppley camera there. Yep. This is what we call here in the U.S. a perp walk. They wanted us to see him being pulled out. And the fact is that the population has been misinformed, disinformed, distracted about the significance of this issue. Now, it's the press that has destroyed itself in many ways in this story, because they have turned on this man that they once profited from when it served their partisan interests, when he exposed crimes of the Bush administration. When he exposed corruption with Hillary Clinton, they turned on him in a dime. They're still pushing this rubbish story that he helped Trump get into the White House, that he's somehow a Russian stooge and a Kremlin agent, all this nonsense, even though collusion story has collapsed. So it's the press that has failed the public here. Yeah. And they have already, the corporate media I'm talking about, they have already destroyed themselves in many ways. And to vilify this man and be cheering today Yeah. His arrest is quite disturbing.
You know, Sarah, in New York, I have to wonder if the Guardian, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, are they going to be held account? Are they going to face espionage charges because they disseminated so much of what WikiLeaks released to the public and they profited from it? Also, Joe is right here because WikiLeaks at the end of the day is a publisher. But unlike other publishers, it was never proven to be peddling fake news. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, they reported on it and exposed some of those crimes because it was already out to the whole world. And really what was exposed are the dark crimes that the U.S. has committed in its wars. 200,000 cables, video footage, images. And that should be the response of anyone who is challenging right now this brutal, really, this arrest of Assange. And that is, let's go back and bring forward again what it was that WikiLeaks exposed. What was in those cables? Let's show again those videos where civilians were helicopter gunships. Let's show again the torture. Let's show again Guantanamo. If they're going to pull Julian Assange out of the embassy, absolutely an outrageous crime, then let's show again all of their crimes. I think that can be the only response, the only legitimate response, is to show that there is no freedom of press. Now, major corporate media reported it at the time, and then they sort of let it go to sleep. Well, this has revived it again, and I think we have a responsibility to talk about what WikiLeaks contributed to this and what Chelsea Manning in all of those documents, and she has really suffered for this and is now in prison again. There should really be a campaign for her immediate release. This is after a pardon. It shows how vindictive they are and how they want to use intimidation. And I think we have to refuse to be intimidated. And it is a real role for the media to challenge this again and bring forward once again, remind people what Julian Assange's contribution is. And he made a big contribution to truth, to freedom of the media, to freedom of press.
Okay, Sarah says we need a campaign, but that campaign isn't going to come from the media because they're all cowards, okay? They've turned their back on this man because WikiLeaks came into existence because the media failed. The legacy media failed in its mission to inform the people of hard truths and showing how government works and doesn't work here. So, Ray, what can we expect to happen next once Julian Assange is on American soil?
Well, the bottom line is, there's only us. There never has been any other. We are the press. We are the media. The Fourth Estate is dead. I used to speak of the Fourth Estate as being moribund. Now it's dead. What did I mean by that? Well, most people know that Edmund Burke, the prominent British statesman in the late 18th century, coined the phrase. He said, you know, we have three estates here in Parliament. Two in Commons, one in Lords, but there's one estate that's far more important than all the others. It's the Fourth Estate. It's you gentlemen up there in the press gallery, because it's you who keep us honest. Without you, government would run amok. Now, fast forward from the late 18th century, and you'll see what's become of the Fourth Estate. No more regard to the Magna Carta or the Bill of Rights in the Constitution, there is no press freedom. And so it's up to us, the alternative media, to make sure that this doesn't go down lightly. Now, I just add that when we gave Julian Assange and WikiLeaks the Sam Adams Award for Integrity, that was October 2010, after he had released the Afghan and the Iraqi warlords. What did they show? They showed war crimes by the United States military, directed, of course, from the White House. What was the reaction? Very little reaction to that. That was pretty much suppressed. But when people started saying, oh, will people be hurt by these disclosures? The Secretary of Defense, no less, Robert Gates at the time, said, reports that U.S. troops or anyone else has been harmed by this are, quote, significantly overwrought. period, end quote. So there's no counter argument to revealing war crimes.
You know, no counter argument. Such a good point. You know, Joe, you know, what we have now is that we saw this a show of force of dragging Julian Assange out of the Ecuadorian embassy. But it told me something that they don't want me to think. It shows me that the national security state is actually quite weak and timid in its ability to communicate its position of why it legitimately has power, because it shows that the powers that be show themselves to be weaker and weaker because they're unable to be able to engage in discussion and in debate and maybe argument, but they deny the other side. They are only right, and people must follow because look what they did to Julian Assange. We can do it to you. That's the message they're sending, but that's power that at its weakest point. Because it relies on coercion, not argument. Go ahead, Joe.
Absolutely. That's authoritarianism right there, what we saw coming when we saw Julian Assange dragged out of that embassy and the public being shut out because the corporate media, again, does not inform and takes the wrong side. They take the side of the state, not the side of the people. And it's the governed that they're supposed to serve, not the governors. In fact, they're weak as well on their argument in this case, because the indictment was finally sealed just about an hour or two after Assange was pulled out of the embassy. This indictment that the government had denied was in existence for 10 years. For about 9 years, from 2010. And what they are charging him with is very important. And I think it's a weak case, which is why Chelsea Manning is in jail, because they are not going to charge him under Section 3 of the Espionage Act, which is mere possession and dissemination of classified information. It's on the books. They could have done that, but that would be a threat to all of the press, because every major media publishes classified information. So they're going for the conspiracy to commit espionage charge, which means they are claiming he helped Chelsea Manning to break a password, a code, to get the documents so that she could then transfer them to him as his source and that WikiLeaks could publish. And it rests on a conversation online that Manning had with a person under a different handle that the government is arguing was Julian Assange, but it may be hard for them to prove that she was actually discussing this, how to break this password to get in, to get those documents. Now, all investigative journalists work with their sources to cajole them, to help them get the information and go back all the time to your sources and do what you can to help them get that. In this case, the U.S. government's going to try to build a case that Assange helped steal the documents, not publishing the documents. They didn't go down that route because they knew it was what the Obama administration called their New York Times problem. They couldn't have the Times and the other papers be liable for the same kind of prosecution. So that's what this case is going to rest on. Now, Manning was brought in to a grand jury to testify on that very issue, and she refused. So they don't have a strong case, maybe. It could show us that they needed her back again to say some more, because they don't have enough. And her lawyers have a very interesting strategy. They're saying if there's an indictment already, and now we know that there is, now, this grand jury testimony could be used in trial. If there's already an indictment, then you cannot have a grand jury testimony in which there's no defense counsel present. There's no public present. It's secret. So they're arguing that she shouldn't have gone in there because they might want to use this testimony later on in trial. And they can't do that. They can only use which was already done.
I got to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Julian Assange. Stay with RT.
This is the CPR News from Community Public Radio, and I'm Don DeBar. We're listening to the latest edition of RT's program Crosstalk with Peter Laveau as they discuss the arrest on Thursday of Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
Okay, let's go back to Sarah in New York. A number of legal experts, Sarah, explained to me that it's quite possible that the impending trial of Julian Assange could be all behind closed doors, could be all secret, and that we would really never know the workings of such a trial. And even to the point where the state would present evidence that would be considered of national security importance, where Julian Assange and his or her lawyer would never be able to see it because of its secretive value. And then it would essentially be up to a judge to render a decision, which we would never really know because it's national security. You can't explain what evidence was being used. I mean, that sounds Orwellian. I mean, truly so, if it were to work out. Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, all of this is Orwellian. All of this is based on keeping it all secret. That is the real crime that Julian Assange committed, refusing to allow the crimes to be held secret anymore. And everyone who in any way wants to defend Julian Assange or admires his courage, I think it's the obligation now to bring up again, because it's gone quiet after 7 years, bring up again what it was that WikiLeaks exposed. Bring it forward again, what Chelsea Manning showed in those videos. Show those videos again. Show the torture again. Show the shooting of journalists in Iraq again. This is how we can counter it. Because if we accept the secrecy, that's what they want to bring back. Complete secrecy, control of the media. And they're demanding that the corporate media, who's already totally housebroken, who's already defending in every way an empire that is declining, that's in decay, that can no longer has credibility. The corporate media is very much in the U.S. is absolutely part of that secrecy. A little bit came forward because it was known around the world. And there's hundreds of thousands of sites that are alternative media that can bring this forward. And that's where we should look. We should not look to media that already plays a role of conspiracy in an empire that is based on crime and that is based on secrecy. So I think we have to refuse to accept the secrecy and bring forward what we already know and support Assange and certainly support Chelsea Manning, who is in prison right now under terrible conditions after a pardon, because she is standing up to a grand jury, which is a very heroic position. And again, that's a secret proceeding.
Yes.
That they're trying to put Chelsea Manning through. So it's more and more secrecy, and we need to challenge the secrecy by exposing what they want to keep a lid on. And the lid is coming off in 100 ways around the world. I think it's an obligation of everyone to do more to pry that lid off. It's a real can of worms inside.
But this case
is endless crimes.
But this case is really about intimidating one particular individual in a concept called freedom of speech. But Raid, I mean, the powers that be are
and Assange refused to be intimidated.
Exactly, but I think other people will that's my very point, Ray. I mean, this is really the ultimate chilling effect. Let me go to Ray. This is the ultimate chilling effect. This is, and it was done in broad daylight. They didn't hide it. They're actually quite proud of marching into a sovereign territory of another country, which I suppose Ecuador relinquished that. Shame on them. And the breaking of international law and of an asylum agreement. There's no asylum agreement in the world that could ever be agreed to under law that limits one's speech, okay? Not in the European Union and not in the United States for sure. Intimidation, Ray, that's what it's all about. Go ahead.
Well, that's right, Peter. It's a brutish treatment of anyone who will stand up to the establishment. You know, the collateral murder video that Sarah referred to is very damning. It shows the brutalization not only of journalists, two from Reuters, but 10 other people in plain sight. It shows the brutalization of the pilots, the U.S. pilots that have been taught to be so brutal. Now, what most people don't know is that David Finkel, a big Washington Post type, was with that unit. Mm. He knew about the tape. He watched it, and he wrote a book called The Good Soldiers about that specific unit that did this kind of brutality during the surge in Iraq. That points it out in bas-relief. Here's the Washington Post there, fully cognizant, and no one would have known about it were it not for Chelsea Manning giving that tape to Julian Assange. Now, this makes the point. Why is the United States government so upset? Well, it's because WikiLeaks has this unique capability to get leaks, okay? What was the most recent damaging leak? It was something called a cyber tool by the CIA called Marvel Framework, which Bill Binney from the NSA, former, and I both think accounts for how The breadcrumbs showing Russian involvement in the DNC emails, how they got there. Yeah. We think, and we can't prove this, but we think it was John Brennan and the CIA and this very sophisticated 700 million code lines of code Vault 7 operation that left those breadcrumbs. So that's really damaging to the CIA. That's the most proximate reason why they're after him big time.
You know, Joe, I mean, I'm glad that Ray brought up Bini because, you know, I mean, there's so much intelligence ability out there. I mean, with Veeps, there's a very good example here. It's never, I mean, I don't even think the Mueller investigation even tapped into it. I think one program on Fox News took a mild interest, but that was only to protect Trump, not to go after the truth. Okay. So explain to our viewers, I know your answer because I've seen you answer it before, but explain for my viewers here, why does mainstream media worship the intelligence community so much?
Yeah, there's a big reason and a little reason. The big reason is they are giving legitimacy to an establishment that is losing legitimacy, as you pointed out earlier, Peter, that they are weak. And the corporate media props them up. They're an essential ingredient in that to keep people believing that these are legitimate rulers. And the second little reason is careerism, that reporters want to be close to power. They live vicariously through these powerful people. They want to be part of the elite. They don't understand their role is to be amongst the people, to challenge, to vet, to criticize the powerful, so that, and that's exactly what Julian Assange did. So they're trying to abolish that and have full control over information. And here comes Assange publishing documents that they themselves hang themselves with because it's their own words. It's their own video that was in that pilot's, in the helicopter gunship. So they got to stop that because they want the total control that they're losing. And Assange, you know, the corporate media reporters, they continuously say he's not a journalist. And that's a key thing here. He's something else. Well, he's publishing documents, but he's written three or four books. He writes articles. He's a great strategic analyst. This man just isn't just some kind of clerk accepting the documents and putting them out there. He understands what they mean, and he tries to explain what they mean. And they cannot tolerate this. They need these lackey reporters to prop up their legitimacy that is weakened by the truth, in this case by Assange. This is the issue, Peter.
You know, it's really interesting, Joe. It's the stenographers for power that criticized Julian Assange by not calling him a journalist. I mean, that is one of the great ironies of the time, okay? Because they're just stenographers for power. And they're paid a lot of money to do it. And they seem to do it without any moral compass whatsoever, okay? Sarah, I mean, at the end of the day, this is really about narrowing freedom of speech. Because you cannot, it's not that the problem isn't that the government commits crimes. The problem is for these people is that you report on the government's committing crimes. That's the crime here, not what they do. It's how people like myself, Julian Assange, and other people in alternative media still believe that you have to challenge power and challenge power with arguments. Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
Well, the media today, the big corporate media, is absolutely losing its legitimacy in terms of its hold on people's minds, on people's consciousness. And I think we should really take confidence in our own ability, because human consciousness is more powerful in terms of historic big change than repression, and even the technology, the ability of technology to try to enforce repression. It breaks through in unexpected ways, and we have to really think how we help that information, which we already have, break through again and again and again. We have to say this media has no legitimacy. Its whole role is to simply report on what is a criminal enterprise in the world today. That's the role that the U.S. empire, that Wall Street plays. It's trying to enforce a straitjacket of only wealth counts, Only power counts, and people all over the world are challenging that. And let's bring forward a lot of that material just to show, to expose how criminal they are, the crimes that they're willing to commit. Don't let them put it back in the box. Don't let them keep it secret. If there's going to be any kind of a trial and they want to keep it secret, in the U.S., if they want to attempt that method, then we got to, in every way, bring it forth and show what's not being shown.
Okay, let me give Ray the last word. 30 seconds, Ray. Ray, I know you're a man of faith, and I know you believe that the truth will prevail. Convince me that that's going to happen.
Well, you know, you have to be patient. E.F. Stone said, you got to be prepared to lose. You're going to lose and lose and lose. And then one fine day, someone who thinks about the truth the way you do wins. So you have to be patient, and you have to go in knowing that you're going to lose. The important point here, raised before, is that Assange didn't solicit this information from Bradley or Chelsea Manning. Manning offered it to the New York Times, offered it to the Washington Post, and they didn't want it. So, you know, where was it? What was Bradley Manning going to do? What he did was the next best thing.
And it was WikiLeaks.
That was the latest edition of Crosstalk from RT with Peter Laveau, the host. He had with him journalist Joe Loria, activist Sarah Flounders, and former intel officer Ray McGovern as guests. They were discussing the arrest on Thursday of Julian Assange in London at the Ecuadorian embassy. After the announcement of Assange's arrest was made, RT also spoke with former MI5 agent Annie Machon.
I think it's probably because of political expediency. There seem to be some deals going on between the USA and Ecuador's new president and the new government. So it became politically embarrassing to carry on granting asylum to Julian Assange. But I think the country should be absolutely condemned for rescinding political asylum. This is not something that's given lightly. This is given due weight under international law. And to rescind it, particularly in the wake of the exposure that there really is a secret grand jury indictment awaiting him in America, and there's a good chance the British will hand him over to America to face God knows what, I think is craven, pusillanimous, and very dishonourable as well on the part of the Ecuadorian embassy. But, I mean, let's put this in context. Assange was the editor-in-chief at the time of WikiLeaks, which is a high-tech publishing outfit. And if he can then face extradition, face potential espionage charges in a country of which he is not a citizen, of which he is not a resident as well, then that calls into question the role of all other media too. Because look at it, you know, newspapers like The Guardian, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and many, many other major outlets around the world have, one, been using the information that WikiLeaks has produced, and two, have then set up rival leaks-type submission procedures in order to try and do the same sort of work. So if they're going to sit back now, the mainstream media in the West is going to sit back now and say that, oh, well, you know, Julian WikiLeaks, you know, it's all espionage and, you know, he deserves what he gets. They are setting an incredibly dangerous precedent for themselves if they continue to report news produced by leakers and by whistleblowers, because they will all be vulnerable. This will be an incredible precedent globally for what could happen to any publishing outfit anywhere around the planet. And they really need to think about this and to stand up for one of their own, a fellow journalist, a fellow editor and a fellow publisher.
He came out being dragged out, shouting about President Trump, something about resisting President Trump and what he wants. Now, given the fact that we have an Ecuadorian leader, Marino, who's not a fan of Assange, he's made that very clear, and a time when Trump is also in power, could this be like a combination of the two? Marino, who hates Assange, and Trump, who's quite well known for his wham-bam tactics towards dealing with things.
Well, I think it's interesting because when Trump was actually campaigning to be elected as president, of course, he was very complimentary about the role that WikiLeaks played in trying to expose the deep state and corruption in America and other countries. However, of course, since then, we've seen Trump as a president be corralled and controlled by the intelligence agencies largely and by the bogus Russiagate investigation, which came to nothing. And they've sort of backed him into a corner where he will apparently do what he's told now by the establishment in America. So I think any hopes that Assange might have that Trump might back off and might let him go and just face the judicial process in Britain for jumping bail, which is no big deal, he'd face 6 months in prison, it's unlikely that Trump now will be allowed to make an independent decision. One hopes that he would. I mean, he does show streaks of independence to this day.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.